Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This
with us now are good friends and regular contributors for many, many years now. From My Marriage Matters, they're authors, they're speakers with Family Life and much more. Joe and Cindy Farini, welcome back.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
So today we're talking about some attitudes that isolate couples in marriage, which no one wants that, but I think it's a strange phenomenon, right, where people assume if they get married, they'll never be lonely again. But isolation and certain behaviors can make people feel lonely in a marriage, right?
Absolutely. You know, and one of the attitudes that we find consistent in marriages that can lead to isolation in that marriage is that the thinking that my spouse is supposed to serve me at all times, mm-hmm. which, of course, is false. You know, we could stop right there and move on. But what I found was I did a little research on this topic, and what I found is that this type of thinking really originates, believe it or not, from a spiritual stronghold that somebody has. And so let's go back to the beginning, if we could, and just define what a spiritual stronghold is. And, you know, the best definition I ever found about a spiritual stronghold is that it's a mindset that's been impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are completely contrary to the Word of God. Now, clearly, we can talk for hours regarding what spiritual strongholds are and how Satan uses strongholds to deceive and hold hostage the church. But for now, let's try to understand that strongholds are those things that are located in the mind. And a stronghold, it begins with a thought, and that thought becomes an idea, and that idea becomes an attitude. And eventually, that attitude becomes an action. And that action, if it's repeated regularly and eventually, that becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. Now, if our actions can be traced back and taken back, and we find that is going to be completely contrary to the Word of God. And then if that is true, then what you've got yourself is true evidence of a genuine spiritual stronghold. And so clearly thinking or having an attitude that your spouse is supposed to serve you is completely contrary to the Word of God. And according to God's Word, we're to serve and we're to love and we're to respect each other at all times. And the truth is that we're never more like Jesus than when we're serving him and serving others. So the origin of this type of thinking, Brian and Janelle, is that my spouse is supposed to serve me is a spiritual stronghold.
I like that you mentioned that. That's important to keep in mind. When is the opposite true? And so I'm speaking especially for women, because I had the attitude early in my marriage, like, I got this, you know, I'm good and I can do, I can take care of myself, that kind of thing. And Len has taught me throughout the years, like, we're a partner and that's what I'm here for. And you need to stop acting like you're independent. You know, we're a couple, like, I got you. So where's the fine line?
Well, you know, I think that we all should be serving each other all the time. I love when my husband will say, you know, can I get you a cup of coffee this morning? And then I let him know, you know, if it's too early or maybe in about 10 minutes, those kinds of things of serving or just helping each other in any way that we can. It's really sacrificial on the part of the server. I think what makes us really have the isolation part is when the person expects mm-hmm. to be served. Mm-hmm. So they have that sort of entitlement, like, hey, right. I deserve this.
Yeah.
Or, I am demanding this, and this is what I want, and you better be the one to serve me.
Yeah.
That's a whole different mm-hmm. attitude than when we love and serve each other out of that sacrificial giving, not out of the demand of the other person.
And I think what we need to say here is that didn't just happen. That type of thinking, that type of attitude, that type of action, it took time for that to get to that point where you are saying those kind of things and doing those kind of things. And again, at least from my research, what I found was that you got to take this thing back to the beginning and realize that there's a stronghold in a person's life to get them to the point where they say that kind of stuff.
Right now, our friends Joe and Cindy Farini from My Marriage Matters, helping us identify attitudes that will isolate couples in marriage. We went through the first one, when you feel entitled that your spouse is supposed to serve you. What's the second one?
Well, the second one and the third one kind of go together, so I'll put them together, but it's unthankfulness and ungratefulness. And, you know, we can look at the ones that we're talking about today, these attitudes that we have. They're kind of subtle in many ways. It's not as blatant as something like an affair that will isolate our marriage or, you know, being all sold out to your job rather than to your family and marriage. So these are kind of subtle. But the ones I want to mention right now are unthankfulness and ungratefulness. So if you remember in Luke 17, Jesus healed 10 lepers, but only one came back to say thank you. And, you know, I see that today. People don't write thank you notes like they used to. They don't thank or appreciate people the way that I think we used to when we were younger and kind of expected that. But what happens in marriage is I really feel that when we aren't thankful for all that we have, or when we, you know, want more and expect more, that really begins to show that we have a heart of unthankfulness. Mm-hmm. And if we take it back to Luke 12:48, where Jesus said, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required." And, you know, we don't all have the same amount, whether it's money, things, family, you know, we all have different things. But within our own marriage, we need to realize what God has given us and really have an attitude of thankfulness. I think when we don't, we have that sort of downhill spiral in our relationship. And then that really trickles over to the rest of our family and into our society. And we just really begin to see that it's really affecting relationships, and especially inside of marriage. You know, when we don't begin to recognize those things, it really begins to erode the marriage.
Is it as simple as just saying thank you?
Why do you take my question?
God. Well, you know what?
That's a good question.
This is really interesting. We, I would say yes, actually. I think it is that simple.
Wow.
I feel like please and thank you is, those are two words that are almost gone from our vocabulary. And I just see so many people demanding things. And I listen to children in with their parents and husbands and wives just kind of being so gruff. Joe and I try very hard to use please and thank you as much as we can. And there, it really softens the request. It softens the conversation that you're having. So, I mean, without going into a lot of thinking and talking about it, I would say, yes, I think it is that simple.
Yeah,
Cindy,
no, I agree.
I like to put out challenges to women every so often. And so, especially coming from my own issues that I have, can you just speak a little bit when it comes to gratefulness and maybe more than just saying thank you? One thing I've discovered is Len has a need of knowing that I'm a satisfied wife. And I discovered that by mistake because I actually said it out loud one time. He was like, "For real? Like, I didn't know that." And I realized, like, whoa, that's probably what he's been trying to do. And so I can say thank you, but it felt like he needed to know I'm satisfied, like I'm good, I'm happy.
Sure. Well, you know what? I can think of two things right off the top of my head. You know, in any home that we've lived in, we moved the first time when we got married, the first home that we had, we lived in Joe's mom and dad's house because they were out of town. And so we rented from them. Then we bought this little teeny house, and we moved to a bigger house, and we had a big house, and now we're in a small condo. And I'm telling you, every time I walk in this house, because I love this house, I love every one of our houses, but I've always said to him, I love where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the little house, not just the big house. I love where we live. Part of it's because I love him.
Yeah.
Another situation, I would say, I remember, and this is a situation maybe you can relate to and other listeners will. You know, there's times where I just say things like, you know, we never get to do this or we don't do enough of that or, you know, we're not taking enough vacations or something. And so I decided to start just a scrapbook. I just got a book from some store that was just empty pages. And every time we go someplace that has like a ticket or a stub or something, it's kind of like a scrapbook, but I'm not doing anything fancy to it except that I have this and it is pretty full and I can go back to this and say, look at this. I appreciate so much all these things we've got to do because you know what? In my mind, I can say we don't get to do enough.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at that, it's my reminder, look at all of the things that we have truly done.
Yeah.
So sometimes we need to be proactive and take a step of how do we remedy whatever the attitude is that we have so that we can actually see, one, that we aren't grateful, but then also that our, you know, we are having things put in front of us that we're just forgetting and not being appreciative of.
So, Jill, what's the final attitude that isolates couples in marriage?
Well, nothing will kill a marriage sooner or quicker than selfishness. And, you know, even as Christians, you know, our flesh still wars against our spirit. And one of the flesh's really main expressions is selfishness. And let me just give you one prime example of that. I mean, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul provides us a list of sins that will be characteristic of the last days, which I believe we're in right now. But included in that list is lovers of self. And I think lover of self is a very good description of a selfish person. Mm-hmm. I mean, this selfish person is not only going to be indifferent to the needs of others, but actually expects them to meet his or her needs and his or her desires. And this form of selfishness is really found in marriages, where each spouse really expects the other one just to continually meet his or her needs instead of thinking of how they can serve each other. And so selfishness really is just another manifestation of a spiritual stronghold that exists in that individual and in that marriage. And I just want to say publicly here, I'm so grateful to have a wife like Cindy. Thank you. who does exactly what she says.
Yeah.
Now, she is incredible in terms of giving thanks and being grateful for things. And out of the clear blue, she'll just say things like she just said, you know, I'm so grateful to have this cluster home that we're now living in. And I just, you know, and I'm at a point where I'm saying, thank you so much for saying thank you. Because sometimes I wonder if I am doing what I need to be doing as a husband. But hearing those reassuring and assuring words from my spouse is so incredibly encouraging for me as a husband.
Big brownie points there for Joe, huh, Cindy?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Again, My Marriage Matters with Joe and Cindy Farini. They have a presence online and such. Do you have any final thoughts for us before we point people to your resources?
Well, I would just want to say, you know, how do we get back on track then? You know, we want to have oneness in our marriage. And so what we have to do is we have to acknowledge when we have whatever this issue is of attitude, whether it's I expect you to serve me or I'm not appreciative or thankful or I'm being selfish and just wanting like my own time, my own whatever. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge it. And then you have to own it and identify it. And then you really have to go before the Lord and really confess it as a sin because that's what it is. And I think when we don't, it's really left unchecked. And then it's like a really slow growing malignant cancer that you don't even, as the person who's got that sin, you don't even notice you have it. Just like cancer, people can have cancer. You don't even know they have it. They're blinded. And so we have to just own it is basically the bottom line. And Jerry Bridges, in a book that he wrote a number of years ago, he said, we cannot evaluate our character and conduct relative to the moral culture in which we live. And so I think, you know, we say today, you know, you're number one, treat yourself like that, you know, just do it. Those may be in our culture, but scripturally, biblically, that is not how we're supposed to be thinking. So we need to think differently and recognize what God wants of us. And when we do, then we will be one with Christian character that's going to be used by God.
Well said. Again, Joe and Cindy Farini with the ministry My Marriage Matters. How can folks learn more about you and get some resources?
Well, we would love to have them come to My Marriage Matters on Facebook. That would be a great place. Or they can go to our website that has, it'll have this broadcast aired tomorrow morning. We'll post that. Thanks to Ron and thanks to Kevin, our guy who puts it up for us. And that'll be tomorrow on our website, cindyfarini.com.
Wonderful. Thanks again, you too. We always appreciate your
Thank
advice.
You.
And Joe, you modeled for all husbands in Northeast Ohio how a public shout-out is worth a huge pile of brownie points.
You bet. Go for it.